is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang and Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute to comment on the breaking news from Ottawa. This is the capital of our best ally, Canada. Ottawa's police chief announced he was stepping down amid criticism of his inaction against the trucker protests that have paralyzed Canada's capital for over 2 weeks, while the number of blockades maintained by demonstrators at the U.S. border dropped to just one. I welcome Gordon and Charles to comment on what appears to be a strange controversy here toward the end of the pandemic. There are different opinions of where we are, but Omicron wave has passed, and capitals such as London are reopening. Capitals such as Moscow were never closed. There is a mixed story across the United States, state to state, city to city. I do announce that the New York and Connecticut areas are remarkably unafraid of the virus now. The masks are coming off. Even the checking at the door of vaccination is hit or miss. However, Charles, I come immediately to you because, as I understand, this protest by truckers, or initially by truckers, started some days ago because of the mandates by the central government in Ottawa. However, you are ruled with governance across the whole of Canada. The provinces have their own understanding of the virus. What is your explanation now for why this protest continues, where it came from, and the response of the national government, Mr. Trudeau's government? Good evening to you, Charles.
Good evening. Well, the government of Canada has declared a state of emergency, which is an act which has never been used. The act was promulgated in 1988, so we've never had a state of emergency in Canada. And that act is really designed to respond to activities, according to the act, that threaten, direct, or use act of serious violence against people or property to achieve a political, ideological, or religious objective in Canada or a foreign state. Well, you know, this trucker's blockade is blocking the area in the parliamentary precinct with about 360 large rigs. And there's a happy crowd there that are roasting pigs on spits and setting up bouncy castles for the children and providing free food to everybody, including the homeless, in a happy and nonviolent atmosphere. The thing is that the police have refused to act to clear this demonstration or take any effective action against it, and have demanded that the federal government provide RCMP reinforcements and that the provincial government provide Ontario Provincial Police reinforcements, neither of whom have done this. So we're in a sort of a stymied situation where even the promulgation of this act doesn't actually respond to the matter at hand, which seems to be a police matter more than anything else.
Gordon, you travel back and forth from the United States to Canada often, and you traveled there recently. Was there anything out of the ordinary about your trip this time?
There was, John. When we arrived at the Thousand Island border checkpoint, we had actually taken a PCR test within 24 hours. And when we arrived, the Canadian Border Patrol agent gave us two take-home PCR tests, and we had to take those another PCR test within 24 hours of our arrival. And the way you do this is you log on, and there's a nurse at the other end, and you swab your nose in front of the nurse, and then you drop it into a courier. This really seems to be excessive, especially because the Omicron wave seems to be subsiding. But nonetheless, I guess the Canadian authorities are starting to toughen their procedures with regard to Americans arriving in Canada.
If I understand, Gordon, the technology necessary for you to demonstrate that you were not in some fashion a threat, that technology is quite sophisticated. Not everyone would have access to doing something online, in video, in front of a nurse. Are there alternatives? Did you explore what happens if I don't have a phone, or my phone's broken, or I don't have a computer?
Well, that's a great question, because when these tests are handed out by the border agents, they either say go to an on-site location or do this off-site. Now, we got off-site tests. So if we didn't have an internet connection, I suppose what we would have had to do is contact the testing company and find one of their on-site locations. But there's really no procedure for that. So, yes, this is a situation where you could end up with the requirement to take a test, but not have the means to take it.
You have a question for Charles, who is in Ottawa. Gordon is not in Ottawa. He's in the large and very friendly city of Toronto. Go ahead, Gordon.
So, Charles, what's happened to Trudeau's popularity as measured by polls over the last 20 days? Has it gone up? Has it gone down? Has it stayed the same?
Absolutely cratered. Support for Trudeau is down, I think, at something like 16%, simply because, he is perhaps wrongfully identified as not having addressed this crisis properly. I mean, the matter really is a matter for the local police, not for the federal authorities. But also, I think, simply because of his arrogance and his identification of these Canadian citizens who oppose vaccination and the imposition of all of these regulations, like stopping sports games and not allowing people who haven't been vaccinated to go to restaurants or, that kind of activity, bars, clubs and so on, are not open to the unvaccinated at all and restricted otherwise, that he is seen as having a sort of elitist arrogance that's so much out of tune with ordinary people who feel that this government just doesn't identify their aspirations and isn't, I guess, really democratic because it represents an arrogant small group who are very much out of touch with the lives of ordinary working people, who many of whom have lost their jobs and have been devastated by the pandemic restrictions.
Charles, in Canada, you see American television. You saw the Super Bowl. You saw 70,000 people without masks screaming what is used to be called a super spreader event. You read the news out of London. Boris Johnson, the leader of the mother country, has dropped all regulations, as I understand it, about masking, about distancing. I'm told that you need to be masked in the tube, but nobody's enforcing it, and it's various. People are going back to the office. You see all this in Canada. It's completely out of step with Justin Trudeau. Is that even a debate in the newspapers that Canada's an outlier now?
Oh, I think absolutely. And I think that, we are seeing the provinces who have responsibility for health in Canada removing or phasing out the restrictions. And so the demonstrators who are demonstrating for an end to pandemic restrictions have actually achieved their purposes. It now seems to really be about they want Trudeau to resign because they think that he is a figure that has done great damage to their respect in Canada by treating them in such a cavalier and dismissive fashion.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, you talk about the escalation of demands, where it was originally vaccine mandates, then it became freedom, then it became almost like a working class revolt. Do you see this around the world as well? Because there are demonstrations in places like Australia, the United States, and other democratic countries against these vaccine mandates, which seems to have actually escalated in their goals and achievements. What do you make of all this?
Well, I think that, we are looking, as we have seen in the past with national crises, with a new emerging values and awareness of people. And once the pandemic is over, I think people in Canada are not going to put up with high-handed and arrogant and out-of-touch elitist governments anymore. They want governments that they can identify with and are prepared to take to the streets to bring about those changes. So I don't think this is really about vaccines anymore. It's more about a populist movement that demands respect and recognition for working people who make up most of the Canadian population. And of course, this Canadian method of protesting using enormous truck rigs is spreading around the world. And you're seeing demonstrations in foreign countries that even exhibit Canadian flags to show that they're trying it the Canadian way. So in some way, Canada has distinguished itself in a 180-degree change in perception from you know, a passive collaborative people to a nation that's leading the way in establishing more democracy for ordinary people.
Charles, with just a minute to go, just a historical question. The Emergency Powers Act invoked by the central government, I believe that it's never been used before, right? It dates to 1988. This is something that we don't know what can come of it.
Yes, and I mean, the act has been brought out for the first time, and the question is this, you know, letting a genie out of the bottle, and that the government will be inclined to apply this act in future political demonstrations, which, you know, have in the past been protected by the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So it's certainly a very disturbing move if there is no real justification for imposing these strong and arbitrary measures on a legitimate demonstration that should be controlled by the existing powers of the local police.
Charles Burton of the Macdonald Laurier Institute. In the eye of the storm, he's in Ottawa, Canada. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in The Hill. He is in the very friendly city of Toronto, Canada. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.